Rich Kimble here with you. Kerry Haskell and Bruce Pratt on board as well for another edition of Sports Lit 101. And this time around, we're joined on the G&M Family Market phone line by the author and editor of a number of books on politics, religion, and civil rights, most recently Martin Luther King Jr., Homosexuality, and the Early Gay Rights Movement. Here with us, though, to talk about his book, Beyond Home Plate, Jackie Robinson on Life After Baseball, a book that he edited, Michael Long joining us this afternoon. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
It's a fascinating book of columns that Jackie actually did for a couple of different newspapers in his life after baseball, when he was certainly even more outspoken than he had been as a player.
Yeah, he wrote for the New York Post from 1959 to 1960 and the New York Amsterdam News from 62 onwards. He really appreciated the platform. He had a lot to say, and he took the occasion to say it. He always spoke his mind, and Robinson was known for that.
Yeah, hi, Michael. This is Bruce. One of the things that I find fascinating in the way you've done this book is that, you know, sort of epistolary exchanges or reading people's writings and the way you've placed them gives us a sense of Jackie Robinson as a very complex person, I think more complex than the average citizen would imagine.
Yeah, I think what we've done with Jackie Robinson is to freeze him in 1947, that year that he shattered the color barrier in Major League Baseball. And I think we've done that, Bruce, because he's so non-threatening in 1947. Right. You know, he's non-violent, and we love that young Jackie Robinson with a smiling face. But after those early years, he really became somebody who was intensely passionate about a variety of issues, including civil rights, especially civil rights, and especially after baseball. He considered those years after baseball to be far more meaningful to him and to the rest of society than all of his exploits on the baseball diamond. And that says a lot, given the fact that he was a Hall of Famer. But he used his celebrity status, Bruce, to talk about civil rights and to advance civil rights in ways that he never could in his earlier years.
And he also did it in a way that I think that people who don't know the story would be surprised to find out, that Jackie Robinson was for much of his life a loyal member of the GOP, that he had felt that Nixon was far more honest about civil rights than some of his contemporaries. But yet, if you veered in the other direction, he would immediately come back at you for that. He seemed to have a very consistent idea of what was right, and he was willing to engage anyone on the subject. Is that a fair analysis?
That's pretty fair, I would say. He was fluid in terms of his political affiliation. What was consistent about Robinson was his desire to advance first-class citizenship for African Americans. And so while he supported Nixon in 1960, indeed he did, because he thought Nixon was far more advanced in terms of civil rights than John F. Kennedy was, Robinson's first choice was Hubert Humphrey, believe it or not. So he went from Humphrey to Nixon. And then he chopped off Nixon in 1962 and landed in 1964 with LBJ. So he was fluid in that, in his political affiliation, but he was consistent in his push for civil rights.
Now, his first main job after baseball was working with Chock Full of Nuts, and right. I think people know a lot about that from a little bit from the Ken Burns documentary. But did Robinson go for that job, do you think, more for the position it would give him or more because he needed to continue to make money?
Great question. And behind that is the question of why he left baseball.
Yes.
So that's the big question. I don't think that we've adequately answered that question yet. There's one place in Robinson's writings which gives the indication that he left baseball because Walter O'Malley questioned his integrity. Now, what does that mean? Nobody has fully unpacked that point yet. A variety of options exist. Really, nobody has answered that question. He did take the job with Black because it paid well, and also because it gave him an opportunity to continue his work with the NAACP. Black was very generous with the time that he gave Robinson. But Black says that he hired Jackie because a majority of the people who worked for him, Black, a Chock Full of Nuts, were African American, and he thought that they would worship Robinson. So Black had a different, Bill Black, the head of Chock Full of Nuts, had a different agenda than Jackie Robinson did. But I think he took that job with Black because it paid well and because it gave him an opportunity to work in the field of civil rights. He left baseball, Bruce, Rich, that's a different question. Yeah.
We're talking with Michael Long, the editor of Beyond Home Plate, Jackie Robinson on life after baseball, and it was interesting to read his commentary on the Red Sox, and he certainly didn't pull any punches when it came to the racist tenure of Tom Yawkey as owner.
He thought Yawkey was the most bigoted man in professional baseball, and he never pulled punches when dealing with Yawkey. He thought the Red Sox were horrible. They were the last team to integrate Major League Baseball, as you all know. And Robinson clearly pointed that out. He had no love in his heart for the Red Sox or for Yawkey. Though I will hasten to add that if you go to the Jackie Robinson Foundation today, you will see that the Yawkey Foundation is a big supporter of the Jackie Robinson Foundation.
One of the stories that the book tells, and this is from his very early life, is that when he was a young child in California, before he was school age, he would play all day in the sandbox at the school. And his mother would convince the town that, well, if I go on relief, it'll cost you more money. Do you think those long periods of time when he was young, when he was left to himself, might have helped develop the kind of independent-mindedness that he showed later in life?
Oh, I think there's no doubt. So I really do. I think that those years of being in the sandbox while his sister was in school really formed his character. And I also think that his athletic prowess in elementary school and then later junior and senior high schools really helped form his aggressiveness at that point. And they really contributed as well, including the racism he experienced in Pasadena. There's no doubt that that also added to his character, and he faced a lot of that. Sure, the kids paid him dimes to play on their baseball team during school, and they also gave him their lunches when he was just a young man so that they would play on his team. But he did not have an easy time in Pasadena. He experienced a lot of racism there, and that certainly helped form his character, too. His mother, Mally Robinson, played a huge role in forming his character, too. And we have to remember when Branch Rickey decided to bring Robinson on the Brooklyn Dodgers team, and Robinson wasn't the best Black baseball player out there. There were others who were better, who were more athletic in some ways. But Rickey was looking for somebody who had an overall strong moral character as well as incredible athletic skills, and that was Jackie Robinson.
We had a chance a few years ago to talk with Ralph Branca around the time of the release of the movie 42, and he talked with us about his friendship with Jackie. I was glad to see Jackie's column about that friendship in the book and find out that friendship endured long after he left baseball.
Yeah, Ralph Branca has a huge place in his heart for Jackie. And, you know, I think Robinson and Branca got along because Robinson had a sense that Italians faced some discrimination along the way. And Ralph had that sense as well. And he looked with sympathy on Jackie's early struggles and reached out to him. Though I think Branca had some guilt about not reaching out to Jackie as he could have in his early years. But those two formed a strong friendship over the issue of discrimination, especially. Robinson didn't enjoy that with all of his teammates. I think Campanella early on was somebody with whom Robinson disagreed at points. He thought that Campanella should have been much more active in the civil rights movement early on than he was. But Robinson made amends with Campanella, and Campanella made amends with Robinson, too. But Branca certainly was one of the ones who was an early supporter of Robinson.
Now, Jackie had an interesting career in the Army, and it does seem that for all of his life, including when his son went to Vietnam, that kind of obvious, or I shouldn't say obvious is the wrong word, but that kind of patriotism defined in that sense that someone has served was very important to him. And I realize that for a lot of African Americans, that was supposed to be the payoff. You fight in World War II and you'll finally get first class citizenship. Did you think he felt betrayed by the government in any way?
I think Robinson absolutely felt betrayed by the government. I think he felt it especially when Goldwater was running in 64, before that and certainly after that. But he felt betrayed when he left the military, even when he was in the military and being court-martialed for refusing to move to the back of a bus. He felt betrayed when the government didn't advance civil rights as it should have following World War II. He felt betrayed when the army didn't desegregate when he should have. He felt betrayed when Kennedy didn't rally around civil rights as he thought Kennedy should have. And Robinson said all this flat out. Now, having noted all that, I should hasten to add, as you have, that Robinson was deeply patriotic, and he thought that young black men should serve in the military during Vietnam. You're right, Jackie Jr. did, and Jackie Jr. earned a Purple Heart there, and Robinson was proud of his son, Jackie Jr., and he believed against those who, like Martin Luther King Jr., counseled young men to avoid the draft that young black men should serve. It was a duty and obligation that they had to the government.
Did he also?
Yeah, Robinson was patriotic like that. I mean, he's an interesting, complex character.
Did he also feel betrayed or at the very least left behind by some of the more strident members of the civil rights movement?
Yes, I'm no doubt about that as well. He felt as if the young folks who followed Malcolm X were leaving him behind. And that was, I think, a sad part of Robinson's life. He was left behind by the young militants, Stokely Carmichael and H.R.A.P. Brown and the others. And he felt as if they were being sensationalist, that they were following the wrong path. He didn't believe that racial separation was a way to go. He didn't believe that the use of any means necessary was a good idea. And so he separated from Malcolm X and his followers. And doing so, he got left behind by the young militants, who some of them called him Uncle Tom. And that was a sad time for Robinson, no doubt.
Before we let you go, one question occurred to me as I was driving up today. And that is, if we were to look at Jackie Robinson's life and think of one thing he did post-baseball that he should be most revered for or most respected for, what would that be? Can you think of one thing? I mean, it probably many come to your mind, but is there one thing that stands out more than the others?
Wow, yeah, but it's something really obscure, Bruce, and it's the time that Jackie Robinson played Santa Claus for young kids in New Jersey. I know that this is an odd thing, but that example shows Robinson's commitment to youth. It shows his commitment to young black boys and girls. It shows his commitment to economic empowerment for the black population. It shows his big heart. And it also shows Robinson behind closed doors doing the types of things that he always did. He fed the poor. He literally took food to poor folks. He fought for their economic empowerment. He started Freedom National Bank. He fought for their civil rights. And he did it because he wanted young people to have a life that was better than his own. And I think that example of Robinson playing a black Santa Claus is one of the most important things that he ever did in his life, because it packed so much and showed so much of what he did beyond the baseball diamond in a heartbeat.
Well, it was wonderful to read the book Beyond Home Plate and think about how it's been a long time since 1947 and some things have changed for the better and some haven't. Professor Long, I'd like to thank you very much for being with us today, and we'll have to talk to you about another one of your books not too far down the line.
That'd be great. Thank you so much for inviting me.
That's Michael Long. The book is entitled Beyond Home Plate, Jackie Robinson on Life After Baseball here on Sports Lit 101 on Downtown. Bruce, what's coming up next week, the weeks ahead in Sports Lit?
I don't know what's coming up the next 2 weeks. I'm getting some new books, that one from the dugouts to the battlefield, to the trenches. It should be arriving soon. So I'm not really sure. I'll be absolutely honest with you. I haven't thought that far. Over the long weekend, okay. I'll have it figured out.
We got time. No big rush. Here's Sports Lit 101.